Blog Talk Radio.
Into Conversations with the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement. We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing The Generational Divide, featuring Avenging Wind. But before we get into that, I would like to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeens.blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget that if you miss a show, you can always check us out here on the archives at blogtalkradio.com/109-9PennStation. All right? So we're going to bring our guest on the line. Peace. Avenging Wind, are you on the line?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Cool, cool. Peace. How's everything going?
Everything is awesome. So glad to have you on. Really, you know, anticipated doing a show with you.
This is my first blog talk radio anything, so I'm excited and nervous, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, don't be nervous. It's just like having a conversation, but except for more people can listen in. So, you know, you'll get more comfortable.
Right, exactly.
Don't be nervous. I always tell people there's nothing to be nervous about. We're just talking about you. All right.
Exactly.
So please tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are as an artist, as a person. Just let us know a little bit about you and what you do.
As an artist, I'm a multitude. Basically, Avenging Wind is the influence that I am personifying now. Most people who have been exposed to what I do know me as Fathom Nine. And I'm sure on Facebook or whatever, cats saw a lot of Fathom Nine stuff. But I have a lot of different personas because I'm a Gemini, and we kind of have this multiple, not really personality thing, but just we vibrate on multiple frequencies, sometimes simultaneously, and I like to give those frequencies their own personality.
Mm-hmm.
So Avenging Wind, you know, me being an air sign and me being, you know, just part of my personality, it just kind of spoke when I was redefining myself artistically. So that's the story of how that came to be, and I needed to do a shift from what people expected or received from my persona as Fathom Nine. I needed to do something else, and so, you know, I had to kind of go in the cave for a while and do some meditation and pondering on what that would sound like, what that would appear like, you know, how I would present myself, my new self to, you know, the world. So that's a short on the origins of Avenging Wind. There's a more story-like tale that I give to people, but, you know, it'll probably take too long to go into all of that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay, awesome. So where are you from?
I am originally from Memphis, Tennessee. Right here in the mid-south, the Delta Quadrant. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Is that also where you grew up?
I grew up between here and Texas and also Chicago. So it was kind of like
okay.
A little triad, you know, childhood thing. You know, I spent a lot of summers in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago is like my second home.
Okay.
But Memphis and Texas, I lived the bulk of my childhood. I came back to Memphis for high school and finished high school here. I've lived here mostly since high school. I did live in New York for a small stint, and I did live back in Chicago for a minute, too. So I'm kind of an urban nomad. I like to travel and just kind of, you know, get a taste of different flavor elsewhere. You know, Memphis is a beautiful city. It has a rich history. A lot of people know a lot of the negative connotations associated with the city, but you probably have to just come and immerse yourself in the true, you know, history of the city, the musical legacy, et cetera, et cetera. But like any city, it has its downsides, you know, and a lot of artists who are homegrown here unfortunately end up leaving. You know, I've done that. I've come back to, you know, at least contribute something to the legacy of artistry here, you know, and it's a lot of very, very talented artists. Every big band that you hear about probably has a musician, a supporting musician that comes from Memphis. That's how serious it is. A lot of big bands will come and they will recruit band members, whether they be drummers or bass players. I know a guy who plays bass for Public Enemy, believe it or not, right here in Memphis. And when they're not touring, he's doing gigs in Memphis. And, you know, it's just like, oh, hey, man, what's up? He's like, hey, what's up? You know, real quiet cat, really cool. But when you see that picture of them on stage at the with their Hall of Fame induction, I see that cat in the background, you know, right with, you know, Public Enemy, right with Chuck D and Flayd. And you know, and it's just, it's so accessible in the sense of, like, I can reach out and touch these individuals. But at the same time, it's very hard to get the access that artists everywhere are pretty much looking for, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, you talk to different artists who say that it may be difficult for them to get love in their own hometown.
Yeah, I think that's true for anybody who is doing something that's off the beaten path. Anybody who is self-made in any industry, whether it be through music or art or crafts or entrepreneurship, you never get the, you know, the real respect and love that you're deserved until you unfortunately travel abroad. And that's the unfortunate reality for a lot of people who are making their own way. Yes, definitely, that's a really valid point. So what are some of your biggest influences in your artistry?
Oh, man, that is, I don't really know how to give a textbook answer of that. Everything influences me. I consider myself an open vessel to receive lessons and, you know, to be able to take things and decipher them and apply. You know, everything's an allegory. So if I see an army of ants doing something, then, you know, provided they haven't bitten me and irritated me, then, you know, I'll be like, oh, wow, ants are ingenuitive and, you know, ants are industrious and ants are blah, blah, blah. Or there's a poet named Auguste Monet who said, you know, smile at a bird and they may teach you the secret to flight or something like that. You know, it's, I just kind of look out in my environment, whether it be the world or the earth, and they are two different things. But I just kind of take in everything I can, you know, everything that speaks to me, that resonates a certain vibration with me. I take it and I apply it to my craft. I am, with the whole Avenging Wind persona, I've tried to create this, well, I'm creating this new sound that I call, you know, the new blues. And basically, it's a melding of different musical influences into one. And it sounds like hip-hop, and in many ways it is, because I'm a son of the boom bap. But it gives me room to create a new narrative and a new expression of something that has been greatly oversaturated with a mechanized, robotic feel. You know, like everything you hear on the radio sounds the same. You can run an entire party or a club off what you hear on the radio because the tempo is probably the same. You know, the sounds are probably the same. Everything is in that monochromatic, you know, you know, and so there's no personality in the music that we hear as popular music. And what I do for me, what I do is I become what I'm creating. So this last project that I just released, Dump Truck Blues, what I did was I locked myself away from everything and everybody. I stopped going to shows, stopped going to little open mic sets. I stopped just mingling, and I went internally and became I became basically a blues man. You know, I let my hair grow out, my beard get long, you know. But I'm telling you, man, my stuff was so out of whack. My face looked like a Busta Rhymes video back from the 90s when he did Woo-Ha, and he was like all over the place. That's how my facial hair was. But it was just it was just like, you know, taking that time to reflect inwardly and somehow bring it out. And it was very difficult. Just the process of creating was very difficult because in many ways it felt like it was being forced, and you can never really force it. But it was difficult because, you know, you had the retrograde coming and you had, you know, just life gets in the way of things too. So, you know, I'm sure you sat down and you was like, you know, I'm going to write this whatever. But the words are there and they're swimming around, but they don't really make sense. And they don't, you know, everything is jumbled up.
Yeah.
And you can't speak it the way that you want to speak it, or you can't write it the way you want to write it. So that was that. It's like the process of taking these influences and making sense out of them, like putting together a puzzle that you've never seen before. But you made the puzzle. You know, you created the puzzle, but you've never seen it. And you're like, I've got to put all of these pieces together into a certain sequence that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be very selfish with it because externally you're worried about how it's received. But if you do that only, then you miss the point of the entire project anyway. It has to make sense to you. Miles Davis said, sometimes it takes a very long time for you to sound like yourself. You know, and that can be applied to everything. So if you're worried about how things will be received, and I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of being, you know, well, you know, will they get it? You know, will it be too crazy? Will it be too this? Or is it too wordy or whatever? You know, and then you just kind of have to say, I don't give a damn. You know, I'm gonna do me. I'm going to represent who I am and be true to myself, my artistry. And if people get it, you know, it's accessible, so if people get it, that means that they want to get it, and if they don't, then that's fine, too. You know, a lot of times we get trapped. Right, yeah, a lot of times we get trapped in our boxes. You know, like the world places us in boxes. We place ourselves in boxes, and every time you undertake a new project, like this is a new birth for me. So it was, you know,
definitely.
I wouldn't dare say I can say what I know what women feel like when they go through, you know, birthing pains. I will never, ever say that I can.
Nope, you won't.
Because I'll never know. But in a way, it was like giving birth to.
No, I definitely understand the relation.
Yeah, it was like giving birth to an entirely different life form, which is you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we transform ourselves all the time. We just don't realize it. A lot of times,
definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, it was beautiful in the end, you know, to see it stumbling and walking and crawling and crying, you know, but, yeah, it's painful.
Yeah, it definitely can be. How would you feel that this album specifically has evolved you as an artist?
It has, as an artist, it has opened me to realize that things are never completed, and that's okay. My problem is, and my true friends have told me this. They've told me that I try to do every album or every project as if it's my magnum opus, like this is the final project that I'll ever do in life, and whole idea of perfection. So this album has taught me, because when you finish something, when you're done with it and you go back and you review it, you're like, okay, there's an imperfection here, there's an imperfection there. I could have chiseled this a little bit more. Maybe I could have extended this part. None of that really matters because you've done something that you hadn't done before.
Definitely.
And right, and it'll never be complete, but this idea of seeking, you know, a notion of perfection or completion, you're very much so reducing the value of the journey and the process that it took to create it in the first place. So,
and I think it's kind of oxymoronic to say that something that's a creative project would be perfect. That doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
In its
the whole paradox of this thing, you know, it's this whole thing is a paradox. It's like, you know, it's complete. It's finished. No, it's not. It'll never be. Let that go and just create. And just keep creating. So this album for me has taught me to be open to the fact, like, you know, someone told me, they were like, it doesn't have to be perfect, but it does have to kick ass. So they were like, so when they said that, I was actually going to a studio session, and it was the last recording for the album. And I tried, my roommate, you know, she was like, you're an ass face. You're going to do this song. You're going to finish it. And I was like, I don't want to finish it. You know, I was, you know how, I guess how women get at the end of the pregnancy, they're like, I don't want to do this, you know, like. What have I gotten myself into? I want to get, you know, I want this to be over with. I was just like, I don't have to put this on the album. It doesn't have to go there. I don't want to record it. And she was like, you're going to record it because it's not going to be completed to this extent. If you don't, if you leave this off, the album will truly be incomplete. And that person said, it doesn't have to be perfect, but it has to kick ass. And for some reason, in that moment, it was like, dang, got it, let's roll, you know. So fortunately, I was able to go into the studio and do what I had to do, and the album, you know, is out. So, it's taught me to appreciate my process more than I thought I was. Because processes lead to, you know, that's all about growth.
Yeah.
And don't appreciate the process, you're kind of cursing yourself. Because you're not, right, you know, it's like growth is not a typical miracle thing. It is a miracle to grow, is a miracle, but it's a very practical miracle where, you know, you have a hand in it. You know, it's not like some bearded, you know, wizards from the ethers, or, you know, they have a miracle bag and they're like, hey, we're going to sprinkle some miracle on you today and you're going to grow. You know.
Shadoom. Album. What?
Right. It's not, right. It's not that. It's very much so you doing the work and being open.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to give you a challenge because I know you are a Gemini and we tend to be wordy people. So describe Dump Truck Blues in one word.
Ooh, one word.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome.
All right. There you go. It's awesome. All right, so we do have about 36 minutes left on the live stream. The call-in number is 917-932-8881. If you're live listening on the live stream, you can definitely join us in the call. Again, that number is 917-932-8881. And you can chat with me, your girl, Tay Queen, and the lovely brother, Avenging Wind. What I'm going to do for a brief second is actually pause to play some of your music, and then we'll come right back and finish the interview portion of the show. All right, this is Avenging Wind, that nigga. All right.
Yeah.
Your way, your way, your life.
About a cry of the wonderland.
wild as the wind with the pen, if the wind can see itself and describe its own skin. And wide and as deep as the valleys and the seas, or as subtle as a leaf in the breeze, I coast to the need, heed the call of my soul, for me to just grab my knapsack and roll. Cause the noise of the world takes a toll on you, distracting you from things that you was born to do. And got the nerve to tell you you supposed to choose from motherfucking stress that's destroying you. Beg to differ, nigga, I'm hitting the road and I won't stop hoofing. I'm looking for a call or a text I'm booking. Out of here, peace, salam alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
You ain't the battle cry of the wonderlust. The lands and the seas so marvelous, so just flow with the rhythm. See, it ain't about YOLO and it ain't about JoJo. It's a private jet mansion made by out of your clothes. It's about the stolen moments in your eyes, the sunrise on a foreign hillside. Curiosities are tingling when you venture around and mingle with the natives, elated, illuminated with the feeling that your body can't contain, cause your spirit's on another plane.
You ain't
the battle cry of the wonderlust. The lands and the seas so marvelous, so just flow with the rhythm.
Just get away, sail away. How does it feel to just fly? Every now and then, everybody needs a change of pace. Just get away.
Wonderlust, excuse me, definitely mislabeled that track, by accident. It's not my fault, y'all. Blog Talk's having some issues today, so we just go roll with that. Nevertheless, it's still a wonderful track, so definitely glad that y'all got the chance to get acquainted with the brothers' music. Now that we've listened to a little bit of your music, can you tell us a little bit about the philosophy behind your music?
The philosophy behind the music is basically a celebration of free expression. We live in a world where we are choked. You know, when we try to express ourselves, it starts early. There's this paradox that happens in the home where when we are children, our parents tell us to dream as wide and as vast as we can, to say, you know, what we feel, to express ourselves. I don't know what it is. We get to age 10. We've had some years of schooling and indoctrination, conditioning, social conditioning, and they're like, yeah, put those toys away. You have to become a productive member of society. You have to dress this way. You have to walk this way. You have to speak this way. You have to do all of that. And so it creates these neuroses within us where we're like, but you said, and now you're saying, I don't know what to do. You know, and some people literally have a psychotic, you know, break because there's this double consciousness that's been placed on them. Into the variables of race and class and gender and sexual orientation and all these other, you know, idiosyncrasies. And you have you have a person that goes mad, especially in this culture, in this Western culture. So my music is definitely a celebration of free expression. I say what I want, and I say it the way that I want to say it. And it's for everybody. Music is not this thing where you put a mask on. It's like, this music is just for this group of people. I don't care who you are. If you're open to it, it's for you. That's the general basic philosophy of my music. It's about free expression. It's basically saying that you can say and be and do and dream whatever the hell you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be bottled or shackled by the powers that be, by the status quo. You don't have to fit into that little category. You don't have to be categorized. You can be an individual. Because what people don't realize is that while they're trying to be team players, if the individual is not whole and healthy, then the team is already lost.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically, that is what my music is. For me, that's what I try to convey in the exhibition of what I do. When I'm on stage, I can't tell you what happened. I can only tell you what other people say. I have a friend who's even said, it's very shamanistic, because I lose it in a very good way. I lost my mind just in time type of thing, where I lose it and I become my music. I become what I do. And in that state of being, I know freedom.
Yeah.
Now, to attain that type of freedom, it costs a lot. And I'm not talking about dollars and cents. I'm saying that it costs a lot of energy. It costs relationships. It costs, friendships. It costs you being ostracized or alienated from the rest of the team, quote unquote, as in society, because you're doing something that, as you said earlier, is not like what everyone else is doing. You're making a completely authentic and organic product of self.
Mm-hmm.
You're expressing, you're expressing who you are, and the world don't want to let you express who you are. They want to tell you.
Yeah, that's the biggest threat to the system, individuality.
Right. Individuality, right. And you go to church or you go to school, and to be the individual is condemned. You think you're different or you think you're special because you wear red and blue socks. Or you think you, they have to put you in a pigeonhole. They have to pigeonhole you and categorize you and give you standardized tests as a child to determine whether you'll go to college or to prison. They have to do these things because they want to shackle your power.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have all of this potential roaming the land, roaming the planet, who don't even have access to their own power. Because it's been shut down. And parents are complicit in this because they are victims of it as well. It happens to them.
Exactly.
That's all they know.
Well, we're talking about the victimization and the levels of restraint and oppression on the common man. I mean, how do you feel that the recent shift in the mainstream music scene has affected the consciousness of people?
We have these debates all the time on Facebook, in life. And I feel that there is a great dumbing down of music and of culture. Like, for instance, hip-hop is not some monolithic form of expression. There's hip-hop music, there's trap music, there is, Hi-fi. There's all of these different articulations of this one culture's music, but hip-hop itself is based off of four elements. And a lot of times, because of the corporate input, the mainstream leg of this it becomes all lumped into one thing. So when you say hip-hop, you automatically think just music. Do you automatically think of just Clear Channel or just what you hear on the radio? So the corporate aspect of it has taken it and reduced it, as it's done with much of other forms of popular music. It even did it to jazz. So, you know, you've got elevator music where people listen to that and they're like, oh, I'm listening to jazz, but they've never heard of Miles or Max Roach or John Coltrane, you know, or Clifton Brown or Phineas Newborn. They've never heard of these cats. Speaking of that, like, even in Memphis, Memphis is known for the blues. Memphis is also known for the Blues Mafia. But few people know about the jazz legacy that came out of one of our high schools in North Memphis, where many of those jazz musicians went to play with Miles and went to play on with Coltrane and Clifford Brown and cats like that. And so in the sense of, you know, where there has been a disconnect from the actual culture and the dumbing down as a result of that as well, there's a disconnect from the historical aspect of it. So you have, you know, elementary kids with iPhones who don't realize that they're holding a pocket-sized computer. And so you might mention a name to them, have you ever heard of KRS-One? Who is that? You know, Google is just a few clicks away to find out, oh, that's KRS-One. Okay, he looks familiar. Or I think I heard that song on some old school radio program or whatever. So it, because people have been spoon-fed, you know, they've been told what to like, and they don't even realize that. And
yeah,
that's
exactly
one of my biggest fights with being an artist, because it's so easy to see that people are told what to like, what to consume.
They're not just told, they're hypnotized into what to like, because it's played so much monotonously, continuously, over and over, the same five songs get the same airplay over and over every day until you get, like, a new song, and then that new song comes in the rotation. It's really ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. I mean, the radio wasn't always like that. It wasn't always
like that. No, it wasn't. There was a time where you could play Fight the Power, Straight Outta Compton, Two Live Crew. You had all of these different forms playing on the same station, on a popular FM radio station. And
exactly.
And these corporations started, you know, doing this pay-for-play thing, and they began to control and take the community DJ away. So you can remember when you'd be able to call into a radio station and be like, yo, what's up, so-and-so. I want you to play that Wu-Tang joint, or I want you to do this. And they'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, we're going to get you in the next hour or whatever. You should be able to talk and touch them and reach out and touch them. Now everything's pre-recorded. It's a microwave culture now. So if you put out, if the Queen puts out a joint 2 weeks ago, right, if you put out a joint 2 weeks ago, and then they're like, okay, the kids are going to come to you like, okay, what else you got? You know, because 2 weeks ago is old school, and I'm being, you know, it's an exaggeration, but it's virtually the same thing. It's like 2 weeks ago was old school, what you got today. And it's all about today. It's all about this oversaturation of right now. Nobody takes the time to actually appreciate anything, because there's very little, you know, mainstream music to me that's, you know, that deserves appreciation. There's a lot of music that does not have access to that same radio dial as a Ludacris, and they don't even play a lot of his stuff. But as a Future or whatever, there's
or
a lot
Drake.
Of music.
Drake is always on.
Drake is always, right. Drake is always, yeah, Drake is man, even the negative connotations that people associate, like, man, you being real Drake right now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
Right. Even people hear that, they're like, oh, I got to go check out Drake, because we're, you know, we've given cats like that, and we've given that part of the industry power.
Exactly. Based off of all of this, like, what do you feel that some of the social, political ramifications of the shift are?
I think it is, in many ways, the ramifications haven't changed from the 60s or whatever, like, you know, for instance, when people vote, and how you see how campaigns will get popular artists involved to bolster voting in certain areas, or politicians will adopt certain language to try to connect with that demographic. You know, so imagine if Romney came to your neighborhood and was like, yeah, you know, what it is, or shit like that, you know.
Very possible. I do live in Massachusetts.
Right. So, yeah, so the thing is that those ramifications is that the culture has been taken away from the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been taken away from the people, but it's been resold to them as an artificial copy of itself.
Repackaged, exactly.
Repackaged, saying it's owned by, you know, this LLC.
Copyrighted.
Right. All of that, right. License, you know, they own the licensing and the publishing of it. It's taken away from the originators, which are the people. It came from the people. It belongs to the people. The people buy their own stuff back from the people who stole it from them. The ramifications is like a new age colonization. It is a form of colonization.
Definitely.
Right. It's that. In a word, it is colonization.
And I think that that's what happened to all of our music, especially us as black people in the Americas. That's exactly what happened to all of our music, because we never named any of our music. I mean, as little as it's talked about, we never really named our music. We always kind of viewed our music as an eventual and evolutionary pattern of all of the music that came before it, because that's exactly what we would do. We would just go through periods of growth and evolution and reawakening and all of these different things, and it would reflect in our music. And I think it was a documentary on the biography of Nina Simone. And she said, we never called it jazz. That's what white people called it.
Exactly. That's what they called it.
We never called it jazz.
That's a bad word. Then jazz was a bad word. It was a slang term for sex. And jazz musicians never called it jazz. Jazz musicians were classically trained for the most part. So they were playing classical ballads. Like
exactly, and that's exactly what she called it. She said it was the African-American classical music, you know?
Yeah,
definitely.
That's absolutely right. Hip-hop music or hip-hop culture is, I think, one of the first examples of, you know, people who are participating in an art form sitting down and saying, this is what we're going to call ourselves. And that is the first, like, when a culture or a group of people identify themselves, that is self-determination. That's what the status quo can't deal with, because that means that you're powerful. You're self-aware. Mm-hmm. You're able to determine your own destiny, and they don't want you to do that, because then you can't be part of the corporation that is America, you know, so, So and a lot of artists, unfortunately, don't realize the severity of being like, you know, I want a record deal, or I want to buy into the hype, you know, I want to be part of the hype so I can make this money, but they don't realize that dangers of that is that you are so far disconnected.
And you're not really making any money. You just look like you're making
money. You're not making any money, and we're spawning generations of children who are further disconnected from something that came from their ancestors or their uncles or their fathers. And they're like, you know, man, I ain't got nothing. You know, that's old school. Like, here in Memphis, there is a very strong disconnect between what a lot of us who have been doing this thing for as long as we have and cats who are coming out now. It's a generational divide. And
definitely. I think that's everywhere.
Right.
It's everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. You know,
I think it's something that has to be addressed. I think, over time, through the evolution of music, period, we've always experienced generational rifts, especially when the generations would, you know, come into a new evolution of the consciousness of what their music was. You know, so we went through it with rock and roll. We went through it with all these different genres of music. We went through it with funk and soul and of course, hip-hop definitely went through it. But I think right now, this can't even be called an evolution of what our music is because it's, again, like you said, it's so repackaged, it's so generic.
Right.
It's not really an expression of who we are at this time. It's more so an expression of what people want us to be. So,
right.
I mean, how do you feel that the shift will affect the youth that are coming up now specifically? How is it going to affect their lives?
I'm not very confident in the future, so to speak, when it comes to that. Not saying that I'm not confident in the youth, but I feel that artists need to stop acting like basketball players were in the late 80s and the 90s, saying that they were not role models. And I think artists should do a more aggressive and become more active in how they are preserving what it is that they do and reaching out to the younger generations and saying, we're here. We were here before you were. And it's not about the negative side of ego coming in saying, you know, we were here before you, we're still relevant. Everything and everyone is relevant. It's just saying that this is where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important for you to know. Because otherwise, you're an orphan soul out here. You don't know your origins, and therefore, our children are in a state where they curse their parents.
Mm.
It's like I'm self-made. I'm a made man or made woman. I'm self-made. I didn't need nobody's help. I didn't need nothing. I just came here, and that's we all know that's not true. You came through some birth canal. You came through some woman's birth canal.
Yeah,
so,
and that's a very Western mind thought. That's a very Western mind thought. In the Western civilization, that's a popular theology that's among psychology among people because any other place you go is props to our ancestors, props to the people who came before us, and props to the movements that came before us. It's all about paying homage. But definitely, we only got 12 minutes left on the live stream, so I would like to open up the lines for call-ins. The call-in number is 917-932-8881. Here talking about the generational divide featuring Avenging Wind. Yes, when you have two Geminis on the line, we will keep talking. All right. So
yes.
I'm going to break for a commercial, and this will be a quick word from our sponsors. Then we'll come right back. All right. Peace, y'all.
Peace. This is City Hampton of the HSDO Lord Mission. Utilize the ancient universal powers of nature. For ages, gemstones have been an integral part of holistic healing. With their unique molecular structures, they possess the ability to emit healing energies that tune the mind, body, and spirit. Gemstone therapy is a subtle and an effective way to help introduce new and positive energies into your life. Gemini Creations, Gemstone Consultations are a unique and an effective way to calculate the best gemstones for you based on your personal life experiences and astrological information. These consultations help to provide you with a comprehensive understanding of the gemstones that work best for your energy. With your gemstone consultation, you will receive a gemstone consultation report comprising of a list of recommended gemstones, as well as a complimentary prenatal chart. Gemini Creations also provides custom-created amulets, gemstone elixirs, gemstone jewelry, and a variety of gemstone formations. To learn more about Gemini Creations, visit us on www.geminicreations.newshop.com. Spelled G-E-M-I-N-E-Y-E creations.N-U-W-S-H-O-P.com. And like us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/Gemini Creations. Peace and blessings. So now.
looking for a place to sell your products online? Not interested in hiring expensive web developers? Do you love to buy cultural and ethnic products directly from manufacturers? Well, look no further. NewShop.com is the number one online marketplace to buy and sell multicultural and ethnic products. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Get your free e-store, post your products to sell, and make money. Sell books, clothing and apparel, jewelry, bath products, beauty products, health products, accessories, holistic products, even e-books and downloadable music files. The list goes on. No sign-up fees, no contracts, no annoying product listing fees or confusing HTML coding. It's quick, easy, customizable. Go to NewShop.com for your 9-day free trial today. NewShop.com, the number one online marketplace for multicultural and ethnic products. That's www.nuwshop. All payments and transactions on NewShop.com is clearly processed through PayPal.
Yo, we are back live on air, kicking it with Avenging Wind, talking about the generational division in our community. Again, we just opened the line so you can call in with your comments or questions, 917-932-8881. If not, we'll just keep chopping it up. There's 4 people on this phone right now y'all are unaware of, and we will continue talking. All right. Just laying. But we do have a limited amount of time on the live stream, so I did want to give you the opportunity to just get all your information about how we can stay in touch with you as an artist, how we can find and purchase your music, where we can expect to see you performing, any of your promo information. You can give it out now.
Well, I'm sure pretty much everyone is on Facebook, so You can reach me at facebook.com/AvengingWind 2754. That's Avenging Wind 2754. Like the page. I'm always on the page. I'm between my main page and my artist page, so you'll always be able to reach me there. Also, I'm working on a fundraiser now for setting up a Wanderlust tour for this album. And it's a very unique tour because it's a service, it's a community service inspired tour where each city we go to, we do an act of community service, whether we go talk to a school, classroom, we go feed the homeless, we hand out, you know, toiletries, we do something to give back to that community. And then we want to rock for y'all. So we're still trying to set that campaign up now. And hopefully within the next 2 weeks we'll officially launch it. It'll be a two-month fundraiser. And we're looking for the spring to actually begin traveling to different cities in this region and abroad and doing this and enacting this campaign of, you know, community service. Because I think artists have a very unique position where we can give back, you know. Mm-hmm. We can something for the communities that we go and perform for, you know, we make whatever money we make, you know, and the idea is that it be very organic and grassroots. So a lot of people, you know, when you tell them, oh yeah, you know, going on tour, they're like, oh, so you're going to be in these hotels? Nah, we will couch surf. We will bring a sleeping bag. We will do, you know, whatever to minimize that whole idea of we want to be in touch with the people, we want to be able to touch the people, talk to the people, be accessible, you know, to the people and then to us. So, yeah, we're working on that, so stay tuned with that. But definitely on Facebook. Eventually,
so do you have a link to that or just keep up with you through Facebook?
Just keep up with the page, and as soon as we launch it, the links will go out everywhere. On Twitter, I am at Fathom92754. That's FATHOM, the number 9, the number 2, the number 7, number 5, number 4. That's on Twitter. I'm usually on Twitter. It always comes to my artist page on Facebook. So in some way, you'll always reach me. And a lot of my poetry is on my page. You know, my music, my instrumental music. The album, of course, right now is being pushed heavily on the page. Dump Truck
Where can
Blues,
they download that?
Right. Dump Truck Blues, Battle Cry of the Wanderlust. Go to avengingwind.bandcamp.com. You can also look for it on iTunes, Google Play, Xbox Music. I even Shazam myself the other day. That was very surreal to be able to to put my phone up to the speaker and my music was playing. It was like, oh, Avenging Wind, I'm talking about, you know. It was a very surreal and awesome feeling for that. So, yes, just Google Dump Truck Blues, Google Avenging Wind. I'm all over the internet. Check me out. And I really appreciate this opportunity to come and speak with you. It's been a long time coming.
Well, we got a caller on the line who has their hand raised. Caller from the 803 area code. You're live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Peace is Angie Wynn. Peace, Queen Tay. This is Palmetto Star, the Ratchet Revolutionary. What's good with y'all?
Man, it's all good, man. Over here, just taking a break for the evening, man. It's been a grind session nonstop.
Oh, man, I understand where you're coming from with that, man. Awesome. I'm definitely feeling with the music and stuff like that. You know, it seems like, you know, you're taking the art and taking the craft into another direction. I definitely like the infusion of the live music as well.
Yeah.
Much appreciated. Gratitude.
But, you know, I know earlier you were talking about how hip-hop was being dumbed down and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And to a degree, I believe that it is definitely being dumbed down, you know. But there is another side to it where I think that hip-hop is becoming more or less like the original music. I think that hip-hop really, when we start looking and if, you know, you see time as something that, you know, doesn't have a beginning or end, I really think that hip-hop is the beginning of chanting, you know what I'm saying? I think that's what you've seen a lot. And hip-hop right now is that sort of spirit of chanting and things of that nature. You do see, but there are artists that do, you know, have a lot of, you know, talent and, you know, verbose and, you know, saying verbal skills and stuff like that. Matter of fact, you can check out the Turn Off Your TV Volume 3 mixtape on MixCat.com, and it's like a whole bunch of that. So, I mean, but, but, yeah, I mean, I feel what you're saying, but, I mean, that was just my little input on, you know, the direction of hip-hop and, you know, how I see it, too, because it's like there is it's a duality, you know what I'm saying? There's a couple of things happening at the same time. You do, on the mainstream, people have that dumbing down, and that is a lot about corporatism, too, you know what I'm saying? That's not real artists being played out in the mainstream, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Definitely. Well, we got 1 minute and 40 seconds left on the live stream, so anybody who's listening on the live stream, definitely call in. Number is 917-932-8881. Yo, Palmetto, give them a shout-out for your radio show real quick. Let them know what you do, the movement to rock the TV.
All right. Thank you, Queen. My name is Palmetto Stone, the host of Too Raw for TV. On every Thursday on blogtalkradio.com/Too Raw for TV, this week we do have the former lead singer of Sounds of Blackness on there, Quan, so you need to definitely check that out. Also, if you're in the Atlanta area, December 4th, man, it's going down major. We have the Winter Explosion at the Crow's Nest. We have artists from America's Got Talent and all over, coming from all over different states to participate in this. It's crazy, man. You know, you get the tickets, $7 online at classydoe.com. That's classydoe.com. Or, you know, you can hit up my Twitter at palmetto_star. It's going down at the Crow's Nest, 5495. National Highway in Atlanta, Georgia, man. We bring a Mike Stone from America's Got Talent. We got the Ganja Goons on deck, and man, it's going to be major. So, if you're an artist and want to win some prizes, Radio Station 94.5 is going to be out there too. So, it's going to be major.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Appreciate it, man.
Peace.
All right, no doubt. Appreciate y'all. Peace.
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 I mean, we could keep talking about this all day, but I want to wind this show down and just let you get out any last shout-outs or last words or anything that you didn't get to say.
I just appreciate the opportunity to come on here and build with you, Queen, and I appreciate everyone that supported this Dumpstruck Blues movement, this new blues movement, and who supported me even when I was losing faith in what I was doing, that, you know, to be able to reward the faith that people have in you is an awesome feeling. So I really do appreciate everyone out there. My ace, Ozra in the Wall, she's also on the album. She was singing on the Battle Cry of the Wonderlust joint, Jade Effects. My boy, Howard and Cozy, Jago Moonshine. You know, I really appreciate everyone that I can't name right now because there's just too many people. I really appreciate everyone who has supported this growth and this movement. And let's just keep, you know, giving the world good music and great art.
Definitely, definitely. All right, so you heard it here first. Check out Dumpstruck Blues. Support the brother. Support everything that he's doing. Support the mission. Support the movement. And just really big him up. All right, y'all, this has been Conversations with the Queen, and we do air every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we're going to take it out with this last track, and this one is really the track this time. This one really is. This one is that nigga. For real, though. No. For real, though. No. All right.
Real, for real.
For real.
Hey now, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, good to see you. We got a special surprise for you tonight. Vengeance Wind will come through and do some things, right, baby? Ladies and gentlemen,
who's that nigga?
Yeah,
I said, who's that nigga?
You are now in the midst of the gusting wind, Dumpstruck Blues. Yeah. Choose to compete, you will lose. Come on, come on, choir. Who's that nigga? Who's that nigga? That bends and manipulates, defends and disintegrates every molecule of your comfort zone, nigga. Eliminated clone with the Thunderdome rigor. Illuminated middle finger, full home, nigga. Who's that nigga? The extraterrestrial, the alien entity, the singular infantry who summons a symphony of lyrical wizardry. Who's that? Wait, I had an epiphany. You can hickory dickory, silly. Suck on these energies for medicinal remedies. Pitiful, low flow, no class ass nigga. See spot run, reading rap ass nigga. Dizzy dirty grill ass nigga. The real in the field ass nigga. Claiming that they drill ass nigga. Most likely to be killed ass nigga. Mad cause you didn't pop the pill ass nigga. Cause you ain't got time for no kids ass nigga. Who's that nigga? Who's that nigga? Truth too real for your fallback nigga. All these can't stop, won't stop. Who's that nigga? From the land of the blue stack, the mighty Mississippi D-Quad.